Spare with me a moment. I was told that I can be comfortable here, and I can... oh, thank you. So, you tell me to be comfortable, I'll be comfortable. So I brought all my hats here. My big Bible, my computer. yeah, so I like to always make last-minute changes to my sermon. So, that worked out in a way that part of my sermon is in the computer and part of it is in paper. So again, that's just me being comfortable. Maybe too comfortable. But just bear with me a moment. So I can sign in here. All right. So typically, I like to start with a prayer, but that was a beautiful prayer that Jonathan, I believe, prayed. So thank you so much for that. So we'll just get right into it. So typically, when I'm preaching with a handheld mic. So this is a new experience. So bear with me if I'm being like, I look weird. Because I'm sure I do. Don't nod. Let me just be ignorant of it. but I also have been told that I play with my hair a lot. So bear with me as well. Hopefully this will keep me from doing that a little bit. We'll see. All right. So when I was in middle school, there was this guy, and he was your typical guy who got bullied for everything. He didn't look like the mold of people. He didn't speak like the mold of people. He struggled academically. He didn't smell sometimes like the mold of people. And because he was different, because he just didn't fit that mold, he got bullied, he got made fun of, he was the butt of every joke. And if you ever wanted to say something negative, or if you ever wanted to have a symbol of a representation of a negative thing, that's the person that the kids would go to. They would just always go for this guy. And I wish I could say that I was not part of this, but unfortunately, I can't say that I was not. It's just so easy to pick on people sometimes, people who are different, people who look different, people who may seem strange or weird, or just behaving in ways that the bulk of people don't behave. And it's easy to pick on these people and just to make them have a really bad experience in life. And it's a shame that our society treats individuals this way. We tend to have nothing but praise when people are beautiful, when people are successful, when people have money and fame. We want to be close to those people. We want to associate with those people. We want everybody to know that those people are our friends. But there's other people in our society that we don't want anybody to know that they're in our lives. We want to run away from them. We want to not be seen with them. We want to just, in one word, keep them at the margins. but as Christians, that's not what we do, right? this is not what Jesus did when he was in the world. In fact, instead of hanging out with all the government officials, with all the synagogue officials, with all the important, prestigious people of his society, and he could very well have done this because Jesus was an extraordinary man. And he could have very well be hanging out with all the it people of his society. But instead of that, he chose to always hang out with the people at the margins. He was always hanging out with the people that had nothing that they could give to him. He would always hang out with people that just needed him so badly. And he got in trouble sometimes for this. His disciples could not understand, what are you doing, Jesus? Why are you hanging out with those people? Why aren't you hanging out with the people that can make you the king? Why don't you hang out with the people that can give you power and fame? Not only from his disciples, his close circle, but he also got in trouble with some of the synagogue officials and some of the people that were his enemies. They would always say, oh, he eats with the poor. He eats with those people. He drinks with them. And he sometimes we'll get a bad reputation from hanging out with the people that he chose to hang out with. And the reality is that if we call ourselves Christians And if we call ourselves disciples of Jesus, of the Christ, that's just the people that we need to become. This is the people that we need to hang out with. But a lot of times, unfortunately, that is not what we do. We join in with the masses. We join in with what the other people are doing. And so this morning, I just want us to take a moment to zoom in into one of the stories in which Jesus associated with a such person, a person that in his society nobody cared about, and in fact they wanted to keep this person very far away from them. And this story is found in the book of Mark, if you will join me. And it's found in chapter 5. So Mark 5, and I'll give you a few minutes to look for it in your Bibles, electronic Bibles, iPads, whatever you brought to church this morning. So we're in Mark 5, and we're going to start on verse 25. And it says, "Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, 'If I but touch his clothes, I may be made well.' Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing into you. How can you say, "Who touched me?"' He looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.'" So this morning, so there's a lot of ways that people have preached on this passage. But this morning, what I want to look at with you is just the way that Jesus treated people that we would call at the margins, people that were different, people that were not the quote-unquote primal society. And just see what Jesus did and see if we can find something for ourselves to imitate his example as followers of Jesus. And so the first thing that I want to do this morning is just tell you a little bit why this woman is considered somebody at the margins. The first reason is her gender. She was a woman. And in Jesus' times, women were supposed to, women and men, first of all, were not supposed to be holding long conversations in public unless it was her husband. They would not be allowed to be having great conversations. They were also expected to be keeping to themselves, like keeping a low profile. They rarely attended synagogues and were educated, so this kept women a lot of times at bay and in the margins of Jesus' society, at least. Another problem that this woman had is that, as we read in the scripture, she had a disease. So the Bible is not super specific about what type of disease this was. It says that she had a blood disorder. But the scholars that have studied the matter, they all pretty much agree that most likely she was she had a period that never ended, basically. That's what we'll call it. And if you want to know a little bit more about what the status of people with this issue was, if you would join me in going to Leviticus, which tells us some of the rules of the society in dealing with such issues. And this is found in Leviticus 15. And I'm going to start on verse 25, which says, "If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the same time of her impurity, or she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity," her period, "all the days of the discharge, she shall continue in uncleanness. And in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies during the days of her discharge shall be treated as the bed of impurity. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean, as in the uncleanness of her impurity. whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. If she is cleansed of her discharge, she shall count 7 days, and after that she will be clean. And then it tells you all the ritual that she had to do in order to become a functional member of society again. It includes some sacrifices and some other rituals. But basically, we're talking about somebody that probably people would not want to be around too much, not only because they didn't want to become unclean by having contact with this woman, but also, I mean, she probably didn't smell great. She probably didn't look great because she's having this illness for so long. She was probably anemic. She was probably weak. There's just all kinds of possibilities that we can think of there, but definitely probably not somebody that people wanted to be with. Somebody that probably had to keep to herself, making sure she wouldn't contaminate the other people around her. She probably did not have a husband, and that was very important in the society. She probably didn't have children. I don't know. What we know is that she was becoming very poor, which is another thing that kept her at the margins, because it says in the scripture that she spent all her money, and actually she wasn't even getting any better. So she had already spent all of her money, all her funds, and she was still not even getting better. So this is the state of this woman. This is a woman that probably was invisible to her society. And if she was ever visible, it was not a positive encounter. It was not a positive interaction. But the first thing that Jesus did for this woman, which most of the people that she was near would not do, is very simple. He noticed her. And that's all he did. He just noticed her. There were people all around Jesus. I mean, there were so many people, and there was so much craziness, so much confusion, so much going on, that when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" the disciples were kind of annoyed a little bit and said, "Hello, there's so many people around you. How can you even know? I mean, how can you even ask that question? Come on, everybody's touching you." But Jesus could tell that this was a different type of touch. Nobody else could tell that. Of course not. They were all so worried. They were all in their own heads. They were all dealing with their own issues, with their own problems. They couldn't see that this woman was in so much need and that she was touching. She was desperate. She was probably at her last chance trying to reach out to Jesus. But Jesus noticed this. And it takes something as simple as that. I mean, how many people, just think of how many people we encounter every day that we just ignore. I mean, I don't know about you, but I do that all the time. Sometimes I'm buying something at the register and I don't even look at the person. So they say hi to me and sometimes I'm like, hi. But I don't even think about it. I don't even think of what kind of day is this person having. Maybe a smile could make their day, or maybe there's something nice that I can say about them. No, I immediately just do my thing, completely ignore the person. There's people everywhere that we ignore. There's children. How many times do we, if we want to greet somebody, we greet the adult, but we completely ignore the children around them? How many times do we take a moment just to say, "Hi, how are you?" How many times do we ignore teenagers? Or think, "Oh, I can't talk to a teenager. There's just nothing that we can discuss." So how many people at work, how many people at school, how many people in all the places that we carry ourselves are going around unnoticed by us? How many people are invisible to us? And if we could just acknowledge them, we don't even know how much of an impact that could have in a person's life. And I hope that that's something that we can remember this week as we go about our lives, that we can start to notice people, start to pay more attention rather than always be in our heads, be with our problems. Because this is what Jesus did. He had his own problems too, because he was a human being just like all of us. But somehow, he managed to always be looking outwards and always be noticing all the things about people and noticing all the needs, the sadness in people's faces, the need for just a smile, just a touch, just a kind word. And I hope that this is what we can be. That's what it means to be Jesus to the world. The second thing that I want to point out that Jesus did was that, in essence, he got her out of the margins. And I'll explain how he did this. So this story that we are reading, where I started reading it, that's not where the story begins, actually. This story of the woman sort of hijacked another narrative that was going on. So basically, if this was a picture, she photobombed. That's basically what happened. So if you go with me in reading a little bit, a few verses prior to where we started at 25, but if we start reading on 21, you'll see what I'm talking about. And this is where the story really begins. And it says, "When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around them, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live.' So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him." And then we get to verse 29, which is the story. "Now there was a woman who has been suffering," blah, blah, blah. Okay? So basically, the story is that Jairus, who's a leader of the synagogue, important guy, VIP, prime member of his society, his daughter is so sick, and he's begging Jesus to come and help him. And Jesus agrees. And this is what Jesus is doing. And so while he's on the way to help this little girl, he has the incident with a woman. And so I wonder how many of us, if we are on the way to help somebody important in our society, are going to stop and take care of the little one who is on the way. And I mean, if you think about it, the woman got her healing, right? I mean, she touched his cloak, she got healed. If Jesus would have kept walking, nobody would have cared. If he could have just kept walking. Oh, Jesus did a miracle. That's wonderful. He could have just kept walking. Didn't need to acknowledge the woman. Didn't need to pay attention to her. Didn't need to have an interaction with this woman. But as this is Jesus we're talking about, he knew that the physical healing was not the only thing that this woman needed. This woman, beyond physical healing, she needed emotional, psychological, spiritual healing. And so he stopped, he acknowledged her, he showed her, you're just as important as the daughter of this government or religious, which is sort of the same thing, official, leader, one of the greatest leaders of the society. I'm gonna put you at the same level as this little girl. And I just think, you know, when I think of that, it's such a fascinating thing that Jesus would do. I mean, he just took a moment, not only to heal this woman physically, but also to bring her out of the margins. You have an encounter with Jesus, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. Your life will never be the same. He pulled her out of the shadows and just put her on the same level as everybody else. And that's just such an amazing thing. And I think that all of us are placed in situations where we can bring people out of the shadows, where we can bring people out of the margins. I don't know in what way you are able to do this. I certainly have ways in which I am able to do it. But I think all of us do. And you can think of people in your life. Maybe there's people that that are in your circle of friends or people who are outside of the circle of your friends. And you can invite them into the circle of your friends and take them out of being lonely and being kind of looked down by other people and bring them some status and help them to feel like they're part of something, they're part of everybody else. There's just so many ways in which we can do what Jesus was doing, just bringing people out of the margins and helping them to heal emotionally as well as in other ways. Because if you have never been bullied, if you have never been mistreated by other people, you have no idea what it is. I mean, it's just, it breaks you. It has the capacity to break you, to scar you for life. I can't even, there's a kid in my church who is bullied because he has learning disabilities. And his parents suffer so much. You have no idea how much his parents suffer. I talk to them all the time, and they don't know what to do. They took him out of the school. They did homeschooling for him. That didn't work. They put him back. They put him in a private school. They just have absolutely no idea what to do with this kid. And it's just so heartbreaking. It's so heartbreaking as a parent to have to experience that. And it's so heartbreaking for people in our society to be walking around this way. And if we have the ability to help someone, even if we are gonna, even if it's at our own expense, do it. I mean, the whole point of Christianity is to be self-sacrificial. I mean, this is what Jesus did. He died for us. And there's a really nice quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer that kind of summarizes the point really well. And he says, Christianity preaches the infinite worth of that which is seemingly worthless, okay? Christianity preaches the infinite worth of that which is seemingly worthless and the infinite worthlessness of that which is seemingly so valued. In other words, all the things that we value so much in society are actually not worth anything. The things that we don't value, those are the things that are worth something. And a lot of the times, something that we don't value are people. And people are priceless. Definitely they were for Jesus. And the third point that I want to highlight for you this morning is that Jesus found what made this woman extraordinary. Okay, he found what made her extraordinary, and he told everybody. And by he told everybody, 2,000 years later, we are talking about this woman. Okay, so he didn't just tell everybody in his immediate audience, but he told people for generations and generations and generations. This story is found in the three synoptic gospels. So, and it's been told in the same manner. She hijacks the other narrative. So we're still talking about it. He told everybody. Now, what made this woman extraordinary? Well, it says in the scripture that the one thing that Jesus highlighted the most was her faith. So this woman had unbelievable, unbelievable faith. I mean, there's not that many people in the scripture that had this kind of faith. There's a few people that are highlighted, and she was one of these people. And that is what Jesus highlighted for her. And Ellen White, in commenting on this in The Desire of Ages, she said, she has a really interesting quote. She says, "The Savior could distinguish the touch of faith from the casual contact of the careless throng. Such trust should not be passed without comment. He would speak to the humble woman words of comfort that would be to her a wellspring of joy. Words that would be a blessing to his followers to the close of time. Looking toward the woman, Jesus insisted on knowing who had touched them. Finding concealment in vain, she came forward tremblingly and cast herself at his feet. With grateful tears, she told the story of her suffering and how she had found relief. Jesus gently said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" There are people around us that get passed over all the time, get ignored. They may not come making a lot of noise. They may not have all these amazing talents that are obvious to people. But they are extraordinary. They just keep getting passed over all the time. And this is what Jesus did. He found one such person, and her thing was her faith, and she highlighted it and told the whole world. Just to give you an example of this in our lives, I want to tell you the story of Yalise. Yalise was a person that I met in college when I was studying education, because I studied a few things. So at this point, I was studying education. And so there were some rules in our class. Our teacher, our professor, she was the head of the education department, so she had to be tough. And there were two rules. Rule number one, after 9 o'clock, nobody comes into the class. If you had homework, yeah, too bad. I'm not gonna accept it. She literally locked the door. 9 a.m. came, she locked the door because she said, teachers need to learn to be punctual. Okay, so taken. So the second thing was, everybody in every class does public speaking, everybody. So every single class period, we had to, some sort of an activity where most of them were group activities, where everybody in the group had to speak. So these were the two classes. And the reason for that is because if you're a teacher, you're going to be up speaking the whole time, so you can't get away from this. Like, this is just your job. Come on, accept it. All right, so these are the two rules. So she would get us in groups, and then we would do different activities, different things. And quickly, people noticed that Yelis was not talking. She would be in groups, she would place in different activities, different groups, and she would always just be kind of standing like this, and everybody else was like, you know, not happy, because they felt like, oh, my grade is going down because she's not talking, blah, 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 okay. So, yeah, she was an inconvenience to the group that she got in. Now, the catch is that at the end of the semester, we were supposed to get in groups of two, and we were supposed to teach a 40-minute class on any given subject, and both parties needed to contribute equally. So, meaning every single person in the class was going to be speaking for at least 20 minutes or participating actively. So consequently, nobody wanted to be with Yelis because they felt like she was going to bring down their grade, blah, blah, blah. So I decided, hey, you know, I'll do it. I mean, worst comes to worst, you know, I'll tell her everything to say. I don't know. I didn't think it through. I just thought, let me do this because it's the right thing to do. So so I talked to her and I said, hey, so would you like to be in a group with me? And she was like, why would you want to be in a group with me? I mean, she obviously knew that people were saying things and people were complaining to the professor. I told her, you'll be fine. You know, we'll figure it out. Just don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. That was one of the funnest times of my life, getting ready for this project with this girl. So I found out that the reason why she didn't want to speak is because she is from Turkey originally, and she had recently come to the country, and her English was not great, or at least she thought. So she felt like if she spoke with an accent, people were going to make fun of her. She was not shy at all, I can tell you that. It was literally a language problem with her. And she cooked all this Turkish food for me, and I mean, we had a blast. I mean, this girl was so cool, like awesome. I did not know that she was this awesome when I asked her, to be honest. So we spent so much time, we worked on it. She was a really hard worker. I went to her house all the time. We practiced in front of the mirror. She spoke, we laughed. We ended up doing a lesson on on satire. So I had to explain to her the whole concept of satire. So anyways, we did this thing for a while. We practiced. We tried our best. And then, so the time comes when we were supposed to present. And so we did our thing. We had to decorate the room, make it look like a classroom, get up there. She was better than me. She had everything memorized. I was strolling a little bit. I'm like, you know, touching my hair, you know, that kind of thing that I do. She was awesome. She was so, like, flawless, just, like, presenting, talking. Everybody's jaws were dropped. The professor was shocked. And a little side note, the professor had already told her that she was going to dismiss her from the education program because she couldn't speak in public. So she had already kind of that warning, or it was actually going to happen. So the professor was not pleased with this girl. And so after this thing happened, she was so shocked. She couldn't believe it. She came, she apologized to her. She said, I'm so sorry for saying that. You're definitely in. We'll work through it. I know that you can do this. She actually gave us a perfect score, which she had never done before. She had never, in the history of this class, given a group a perfect score. And she did it. And that's the story of Yelis. I mean, it's just the story of somebody that nobody would have wanted to be in the group with because they couldn't benefit from her, or so they thought. But in reality, this girl had the capacity to get the other party to get a perfect score on an assignment. And it's just so amazing. There are people like this all around us, just people that don't get any credit for what they can do, people whose potential never gets explored because everybody just assumes the worst, or they have prejudices against them, or they make assumptions, they think whatever of them, and they never give them a chance, and they never also get a chance to be blessed by people like this, because I was so blessed by this experience with this person. I mean, she preached a sermon to me, and I'll never forget it. And there's people like that all around us, that in the end, we're not really helping them, but actually they end up helping us a lot more than what we could help them. And so this morning, I just wanted to give us a quick reminder of this. I just wanted us to be more aware of keeping our eyes open for all the people that are around us, people in our workplace, people in places where we shop, people in school, people in different places where we carry ourselves, just to keep an eye open for them, to acknowledge them, and to also keep your heart open for a blessing, because they can be huge blessings to us. Just get these people out of the margins and into the place where they belong, because they're so valuable to God. They're so valuable to Him. And because we are His disciples, because we are the feet, the voice, the hands of Jesus on earth, this is exactly the legacy that we should be carrying from Jesus. But I also want to say one more thing. Maybe this morning there's someone here who actually can relate to the woman herself. Maybe you are somebody that feels like you've been overlooked by people around you. Maybe you have been mistreated. Maybe you have been misjudged. Maybe you have been treated with prejudice, made fun of, picked on. Just you never had somebody acknowledge your worth. And if there's such a person here this morning, I don't want to let the opportunity go without saying that I'm so sorry. I just want to say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry that society has treated you that way. I'm sorry for everybody that contributed to making you feel like you're less than human, like you have no value, because to Jesus, you are so worthless. You cannot even imagine how much worth you have. You are priceless in His eyes. And I want to say that even if your opportunity hasn't come yet where you have been noticed, it's coming. You know, this woman, she went out one day and she wanted to get physical healing. She never thought that her story would be told for generations upon generations. And so I just want to say to you that your time will also come. You will be acknowledged. You will be highlighted in some way at some point. There are people that do care about you. And if people are so stupid that they don't, then I can just tell you that the one that you really should care of, which is God, He really cares about you. He really loves you. And so I just wanted to remind you also that just of your worth. And I hope that we can just carry this message. We can just carry on the legacy of Jesus wherever we go. And if we call ourselves Christians, that we will continue walking in His feet.
What an awesome message, Cecilia. Thank you so much. A reminder of both that we're not the center of things. And in fact, by walking with our eyes open, by having His eyes, the world has changed. We're changed. And I was thinking as we were listening to Cecilia, another thing that puts us all on the same takes everyone out of the margins, that every one of us needs Jesus. Even if you have a great life by any measure, to what end unless you have Jesus? Let's all sing together. Please stand with us. We want to hear everyone's voice as we sing together.
grace is more, where grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am here. Holiness is Christ in me, and where you are.
With me. God Almighty, oh, how much we need you. Oh, how much we need you, God. We can say so many things, and we can have the desire and the willingness to do so many things, but without you, we cannot do anything. Without you, we are nothing. And I just ask that you will descend in our midst, that you will bless us, that you will give us the mind, the feet, the voice, the hands of Jesus, that we can be your example in this earth, that we can relieve suffering and pain and just negativity from our world, from whatever we stand, that we can see it, that you will open our eyes to see the people that we typically wouldn't see, that you will give us the strength, the courage, the self-sacrificing spirit to reach out to those people, to be a friend to them, to be a presence of Jesus in the world to them, to be a true church to them. Bless this church. Help the church as a collective unit also to be your hands and feet, your voice, your presence in their community. Bless each individual. And also please be with all the suffering souls of the world, any that can be in this church, any that can be in our communities, in our jobs, in our schools, anybody that's being currently suffering at the hands of cruel people that just can't seem to appreciate them and just appreciate the immense value that each individual has. I want to pray for everyone who feels discouraged, that you will give them your encouragement, that you will show them your love in an extraordinary way, that they will feel valued and that they will feel treasured and that they will know the value that they have. Please be with us. Bless everyone standing here. In Jesus' name I pray.